feels so good to be back here worshiping with you after NYC and vacation and everything else. Thank you so much for being a church that just, I don't know, it just feels good to worship God here. And I know I'm not the only one that needed to hear that song here today. Hey, vacations are meant for memories. And great memories, memories that build and just lock in, and memories that you look back on the rest of your life and go, that was special. That was a good time, and we had something special happen on our vacation right here, and here it is. If Logan and Lily will stand up right there, that's our middle child, Logan, and his fiance, Lily. Oh, it was such a special time. As a dad, I'm not only proud to have Lily come into our family, but also watching Logan work all this out and get the photographer and get everything set up to where it'd be a full surprise. I mean, he was even throwing Mom under the bus the night before because we had to be at the site at 8:30 in the morning, and we were doing family pictures. And so he was complaining that, I can't believe she set our first day of vacation for family pictures at 8:30 in the morning and trying to throw, yeah. So special memories. And vacation started with our middle child, or actually our youngest child. He's going into his senior year, so we got to start off with a baseball tournament over in Pitt. And those bring back, you know, bittersweet memories because even though he'll have the season, there's nothing like summer league baseball where you get to go to tournaments and hang out with friends and everything else. And those are the memories that just get seared in to your life, those good things that lift you up that you can look back on. And there's really three types of memories. There's the good ones, and then there's the ones that you look back on and go, oh man, that was, I'm such a bonehead. And I've got a perfect example of that. When we were, probably Grayson was a couple months old, we had three kids, and we were just figuring out, you know, we went from two, we still had man-to-man coverage, and now we went to zone, three kids, so zone coverage comes into play for defense. And as we're working through, Christy gets a much-needed break. She gets to go out and hang out with her friends, and so it's me left with the kids. And I think I'm doing really good. I get Grayson to sleep. I get him in the swing. The older two are occupied, and I have to, I'm running to my room to, I can't remember what I was doing, but I had to get something done. And then Grayson starts crying. And in my mind, I sit there and listen for a second, and he automatically stops, and I go back to whatever I'm doing. I'm like, no, I really need to go check this out. I need to go see what's going on. So we thought we were very trendy out there, and we had concrete stained floors. They didn't look good at all. But it's what we had, and as I turn around the corner, the reason why Grayson stopped crying is because our 4-5-year-old was holding him now, holding our 2-month-old baby. And so as I come around the corner, I just panic and say the first thing that comes to my mind way too loudly, way too aggressively, and it is, put him down. And she listened. And he bounced off the ground. And we think everything's still okay. We haven't seen too many signs, but he seems to be good. And so that is the moment where I look back on and go, oh man, why? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why? This is just silly. Why didn't I walk over and say, hey, like, thank you. Thank you, sweetie. Let me take him from you, and nice and calm, and you know, in the moment. And no, that's not what happened. And then there's a third category. There's those other memories. Those ones that keep us up at night and keep us tossing and turning. The ones that just bring so much regret and shame and hurt. Whether it's stuff that we have done or stuff that has been done to us that's just shame. And those are the memories that burn into us. Those are the memories that change who we're supposed to be. Those are the memories that keep us in bondage and from the life that God has for us. And we see that in John 21 with, of course, the guy that screws up a lot, Peter. But this is the one he holds on to. And what do you do when you hit that moment? What do you do when you're in this vicious cycle and you can't get out of your own head? What do you do when you can't sleep because you lay up tossing and turning all night? What you do is you try to keep yourself occupied. And of course, Peter's a fisherman. And what else happens at night back then but fishing? So he simply says, I'm going fishing. And him and a group of other disciples, that's what they do. They go out on the boat, especially for Peter, expecting to find release, expecting to find distraction, expecting to find a place where his mind isn't going and going and going and dwelling on that moment. But what he's really done, in my view, is he's trapped himself. Because all over that boat are memories of Jesus. In one corner is where he was sleeping the night that the storm came up and it was whipping the boat around, and all the disciples, they thought they were going to die. Fear and agony and everything else just washes over them. And when they finally get Jesus awake, he just calms the storm with one word. And everything becomes peaceful. And everything straightens out. And that's the Jesus that Peter denied. And I wonder if as he throws a net, if he looks out over the waters and he sees that memory, that silhouette of Jesus walking to the boat, walking on water. And for a moment, he calls Peter out. He calls him out on that water, and Peter stands there just in true faith, standing on the water with Jesus until he starts sinking, and Jesus has to grab him and lift him back out. That's the Jesus that Peter denied. That's the Jesus that Peter didn't come to his aid when he most needed it. That's the Jesus that on that night, the night that keeps playing over and over and over in his head, Jesus is warming his hands on a fire. Or Peter is warming his hands on the fire, and Jesus has already told him, you're going to deny me three times by the time the rooster crows. And as he's warming his hands on the fire, he's asked again, do you know him? Aren't you with him? And he says, no, I don't even know that man. And the rooster crows, and Peter makes eye contact with Jesus in captivity, staring right back at Peter. All the miracles, all the healings, the casting out of demons, all that he has shown who he really is, who Jesus really is, that is the Jesus that Peter denied knowing. And so as he battles through the night, as he continues to throw the net and no fish are caught. And as they're coming back into the shore in the morning, there's a man on the shore, and he just yells out, throw your net over to that side. So for whatever reason, they do. And the net comes up full, so full they can't get it on the boat. And it's John that first figures it out. Of course, it's John, at least in his telling of it, that figures out that it's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's Jesus on the shore. And all Peter can do is just wrap his clothes around him and jump out and run to him. Everybody else is pulling the boat into shore. And it is Peter who leaves everything and gets to Jesus. And that's where we pick up the story in John chapter 21, verse 15. They all sit together and they have breakfast and they enjoy the moment. They enjoy time with Jesus, their Messiah, their rabbi. They enjoy the time with their friend again. And then Jesus takes Peter alone to the side. Verse 15 says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, not Peter, not his new name that Jesus gave him. He is going back to the name, his old name, the name before he became a follower of Jesus, the name he had when Jesus first found him, when Jesus first called him. Simon, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your boat and your nets and your equipment and everything that you needed for your old life? Do you love me more than these? Because I've called you out of this. I've called you to a new life, yet Simon, here you are. Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Simon, I called you to a life of purpose, to a life of kingdom building. If you love me, get back going in that to that life. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Okay, I've called you to something. Why are you here? Jesus is opening up the wounds of the situation. I've called you out of this. I've called you to a new life, yet here we are, and we are going to keep going at this. We are going to keep opening up these wounds until you realize what you were created for. The third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Three times for three denials. Three times for three denials, Jesus is trying to pull everything back to that moment, to that night of Peter's worst failure. Jesus is trying to put him face to face to deal with what he's done. And it's not just the three denials. It is the throwing, the telling him to throw the net over the side of the boat as they come in. That is the thing that happened when Jesus first called Peter. When he first called him to follow him, that is the very first thing that happened. It's painting the same picture. And then the fire that's waiting on the shore with fish on it and cooking breakfast. It's not just any fire. The coal burning fire is only used one other time in the New Testament. Guess when it is? It's the fire that Jesus, or that Peter is warming his hands on when he denies knowing Jesus. That whole scene is set up for this moment to bring Peter back in and deal with his junk. Verse 18, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you like. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Peter, this life that I've called you to, you know, you've seen what happened to me. It's not going to be easy, but we have work to do. Life is not going to be easy moving forward, but good things are going to happen. This reality, the kingdom of heaven, is going to go all over the world, and you are going to take it. Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. And then Jesus told him, follow me. Let's go. Let's move past it. Let's get out of the boat. Let's move forward. How Jesus deals with Peter is how Jesus wants to deal with us, because the healing of our hearts will never happen without a one-on-one moment with Jesus. So I already talked about the good parts of our vacation. Let me tell you, they weren't all good, at least not for me. And it really goes back a year and a half, maybe more. And in this amount of time, we have seen tragedy, trying to walk our kids through through loss, through losing family members that were ripped away from us, through my sister's diagnosis, to just pressure after pressure after pressure. And when you're like me and you can just keep going and keep working and keep moving and, you know, I'm doing all these things for you, Jesus. Like, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep working. And I get farther and farther away from that shoreline where Jesus is at. And so when we were traveling to the cabin, we started to have car trouble with one of the vehicles. We had two vehicles because there was a bunch of us. And so we had the engagement the next morning. We wanted to get up to the cabin. We wanted us all to work out, and the car breaks down. And this kind of ends up going in the last year, not one moment, not one certain thing that has just felt like I've dwelled on. It is the idea of a death by a thousand cuts. And so as we're traveling, we think we get the car fixed, we start going, and it breaks down again. And we get it about an hour away from Colorado Springs. And we make the decision, we find a mechanic, we drop the car off, we have to get to Colorado Springs, leave people in this little town to get the rental car. Of course, it's one of the last rental cars in town, so it's priced as one of the last rental cars in town. And we get them, and by the time we get up to the cabin, it's like 10 o'clock. Big day coming in the next day. Stress on my son, stress on the family, and it's just pressure. And the next day was amazing. It all worked out, but the pressure was still there. And the next couple days after that, oh man, I was filled with anxiety, not just from the car breaking down, but from the last couple years. It's just one more thing. So I become irritable and grumpy, and I'm not being the dad that I'm supposed to be, and I'm not being the husband I'm supposed to be, and I'm trying, but I just can't do it. And I find myself stuck on the boat. Jesus is on shore waiting to take it all, waiting to release, to pull some of that burden off, waiting to set me free, and I just can't do it. I'm stuck on the boat. And in order to make this vacation what it's supposed to be, I have to get off of that boat. And for the next 2 days, it's what I tried. Every morning, I woke up early. Sat on the kitchen table, windows open, with my Bible, praying, worshiping, trying to move past, trying to move fast, and it finally started to release. I was finally able to, at least the last day or two, to move into the moment. And it wasn't perfect, because once we got the car and went to take the rental car back to Colorado Springs, it broke down again. And so this is yesterday, and I have to get back and preach, and it just starts bubbling over again. And so driving the car that keeps breaking down, the hour or two to the shop, I got out of the boat again. And through an hour of prayer and worship and a song called Holy by Bloodlines, which none of you will know, finally start to feel peace again. It's there. All the stress is still there. Finally start to feel peace again. And it's not gone. There's still so much in life that's going to come. And as long as I choose to get out of the boat every day and go meet Jesus where he is waiting for me, that I will have that outlet, or I will have that freedom. But it's what I have to do. I have to choose to get out of the boat. And some of you I'm worried that some of you know don't even know that he's right there. That you're stuck on the boat and you can't tell. There's been no John next to you to say, that's Jesus, that's right, he's right there. And I'm telling you, he's right there. Whatever is holding you down, whatever shame you're carrying, whatever sin has been in your life, whatever the enemy is using to tell you that you're not good enough, that you can't overcome, that you aren't good enough to meet Jesus exactly where he is ready to meet you. It's a lie. He's waiting on the shore for you. You have to choose to get off the boat. Some of us, we're in a point in our life where we're just turned away. Our back's to the shore. We have no clue what's going on behind us, and we're just staring out of the abyss, staring out of the waters. And if that's you, Jesus is right behind you. He's ready to take that pain. He's ready to take whatever it is keeping you in shackles because he has an abundant, great life ahead of you. He has a life of purpose and meaning and freedom, and most importantly, a life filled with him. We're going to have some baptisms. I'm actually going to ask them to come up and line up over on the wall over here. First service, we had one baptism, Aiken Ortega. And Aiken found Jesus on the shore at NYC. With everything that he's feeling, with every little aspect of not feeling good enough, not wanting to move forward, all that was holding him down, he had a moment of NYC that just changed everything for him. So as soon as we got back, he wanted to get baptized. He wanted to step out of the boat and into a life of eternity with Jesus. We all need those moments. And the way we get there is we call it next steps. And for some of you, you just need to know him for the first time. And if that's you, I would love to meet with you at For the One Wall right after this is done. Because he's waiting. And for the rest of us, it's the simple, everyday things. It's waking up in the morning and reading your Bible and praying. Or if that doesn't work for you, it's turning your vehicle into a prayer closet as you're commuting to work. Whatever it may be, we have this thing called the first 15 that we like to push to. But really, the most important thing you have is what you will do. Whatever it takes to get you to Jesus, that's what you do. You get baptized and you find community. You start by showing up each and every Sunday here. No more excuses of why you don't show up. You sit here and you stand here and you worship with the community, all striving after Jesus. And you get into life groups. Those are what's going to be, we're going to start announcing those pretty soon. It's time to get into a group of fellow believers that are ready to push you forward. And you just keep taking your next step, and you keep taking your next step, and you keep walking towards Jesus every day. Because the healing of our hearts will never happen without the one-on-one moment with Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that whatever's going on in our life, whatever is tying us to that boat, you were right there on shore waiting for us, ready to set us free, ready for that moment. That moment where you can change everything, where you can release our burdens and our shame and our guilt and our pain. God, so we ask that you be with us each and every day. Give us people in our lives that are ready to point out to the shore and say, that's Jesus. He's right there. Lord, and even on those days where it's hard and we don't feel like we want to move, help us to move towards you. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice that makes all of this possible. God, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.